that define your story beyond your life. Like the day they arrived.
Signs of what might be called first contact. The objects measure at least...
I'm Colonel G.T. Webber from Army Intelligence.
Pack your bags.
You're at the top of everyone's list when it comes to translations.
Priority one. What do they want? Where are they from?
You'll be reporting to me, but you'll be working with him when you're in the show.
That's what they call a UFO.
Who's being carted off in the medevac?
Not everyone is wired for what you're about to do.
So what do they look like?
You'll see soon enough.
Every 18 hours, a door opens up. That's where we go in.
It's time.
Yeah, that just happened.
Landed around the world.
This is one of 12.
I'm never going to be able to speak their words.
Got 2 days. Figure something out.
I am human. It's their language. We need to make sure that they understand the difference between a weapon and a tool. Language is messy, and sometimes one can be both.
Are you dreaming in their language? Possible. They're prodding us to fight among ourselves.
This is just a way to force us to work together for once.
It's more complicated than that.
How is it more complicated?
Russia just executed one of their own to keep their secret.
Got 21 hours
before they start global war.
So how do we clarify their intentions?
I go back in.
Why does this feel worse?
I've time traveled from the year 2016 to tell you about a new movie. It's called Arrival. It's going to be an alien film of epic proportions. It's all about the birth of the Antichrist. It's filled with Illuminati symbolism of alien enlightenment. I want you to join along as time traveler Isaac Weishaupt comes from the year 2016 to reveal the hidden messages of this film. Of course I'm joking. Is it a funny joke? Probably not. But the joke is, this film came out 3 years ago, and I'm only now giving you an analysis of it. Giving you... The great service you, the quick, speedy service you desire. My apologies on this. I actually saw the film when it was released on DVD or Amazon. I don't remember. I didn't see it in the theaters is what I'm trying to tell you. I try to catch these alien movies in the theaters because clearly they're up my alley. But I don't catch them all the time. I actually don't catch movies in the theater as much as I would like. It's not a joyful experience either, trying to take notes in the dark. Can do it on my phone, as you heard with my story about Alien Covenant. Trying to take notes on the phone and getting yelled at by the people down the aisle. Rightfully so. That's annoying, right? He doesn't know what I'm doing. But anyways, I saw this film years ago. Skip the analysis because I was distracted with something. I don't know what. But I rewatched it again. And it was like brand new because I've got no memory. My memory is shot. Too many extracurricular activities when I was a child. I wish I could say it was football. Something real, real manly. Beating my brains in. But I don't know. My memory is short, so... I saw this film pretty much for the first time again just the other day. So we're going to go through an analysis. I don't know if you're tired of hearing it yet. I'm going to keep talking about it. In fact, I plan on writing a book about this topic, and the Arrival film will surely be in there. No promises. You can follow me to, you know, subscribe to the show or whatnot so you can hear updates on this fantasy book I want to write. We'll see what happens. It could end up like the Manson book I was writing that ended up getting scrapped due to psychological attacks from the other side. I was having nightmares, many nightmares about horrible things, murder. And I felt like I was in contact with something much darker than I could handle, so I bailed on that. But the alien subject is next, because it's very fascinating to me. It is formulating to look like I want to talk about aliens and mental powers, the power of thought, the power of belief in reality. So it might be a little more philosophical than I typically write. But Arrival, that's what we're here to talk about today. Because it is one of many films, one of many pieces of entertainment that show us the path of the supposed Illuminati. Quote unquote Illuminati. I'm going to break it down for you. This is going to be like, did you listen to my show in January of 2019 about Bird Box on the Netflix? Sandra Bullock. It's very similar to that. I believe this film, Arrival, is a love story. That's right. It's a love story, just like Bird Box was. Because you remember that in Bird Box, Sandra Bullock's character, she is afraid to love. She's afraid to connect with her own child. She doesn't want to become attached. She tries to keep him at a distance. Was it a boy? Was the boy hers or was the girl hers? I don't know. It doesn't matter. The one child that was hers, she was merely trying to keep it alive, merely trying to survive, but she's not really living. She wasn't loving and she wasn't living. Which is kind of like these doomsday preppers that want to live in underground bunkers forever. I don't know why you'd want to do that. I'll go out with the first wave, thank you very much. Because you're not really living. You're surviving. You're not living. Now, Bird Box also, if we're going to talk about it, it also has the same symbolism of the bird being the canary in the coal mine, which if you watch Arrival, oh, and by the way, before I get ahead of myself, there will be spoilers in this analysis. So if you haven't seen the movie, go see the movie. Whatever. It's been 3 years, right? No excuses at this point. But that will be happening. I don't want to take the time to craft out what will spoil the plot or not, so my apologies. I assume you've seen it already. But we're going to go down the list here. And I'm going to assume that you know most of the storyline. I'll give you a little background, you know, to keep you up so you don't have to rewatch it. But in the film, the alien craft, the crafts, plural, they come down to Earth, and Louise, played by Amy Adams, and her male counterpart, Jeremy Renner, his name is Ian in the movie, they are tapped by the military to, as language experts and scientific language experts, to go talk to these aliens to figure out what they want. So they go up in the alien craft, up the corridor with a bird in a cage, which is the same concept we saw in Bird Box, where the birds would be the way to relay if something bad was about to happen. But you didn't come to hear the nonsense about Bird Box. You're here for alien talk. You don't want to hear about love stories. You want to hear about aliens. You want to be hearing about aliens manifesting in our world to create the devil, the Antichrist. But yeah, so the aliens, they come to Earth in order to enlighten man with the weapon. That's what they call it in the movie, the weapon, which is a gift, also called a gift in the movie. And they, you know, as one would expect, the military takes this as a threat. But Amy Adams' character, Louise, she's very much on the, you know, she's feeling the aliens. She wants to protect them. She says, hey, they're just trying to give us a message. They're trying to enlighten us. And the gift, of course, turns out to be this universal language that is free of the constraints of time, which we'll get into. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fifth dimension, higher dimensional beings. The aliens don't have this construct of time, the Saturnian concept of time, because as you know, the occultists believe in this idea of a Saturnian force. The demiurges, the Gnostics, they talk about this evil force that came and gave us the constraints, time and measurements, the material aspects, the material elements of the earth. Now, this film, what I'm trying to tell you, what I'm going to reveal to you here is that the aliens are a demonic manifestation in this film. And they come to Earth. Hide your wife, hide your kids. All right, let's go. First, I want to talk about the Kabbalah. Do you know what the Kabbalah is? Do you even Kabbalah, bro? If you don't, I'm going to give you the 10-second version of what this is. I'm trying to pull it up. I was having a conversation with an expert on the Kabbalah. He goes by the name of Hot Rod, and he listens to the show. And I had to consult with him on some ideas to make sure they made sense. Because I'm not an expert on the Kabbalah. It's very confusing. I try reading some of these books like Dion Fortune's Mystical Kabbalah. Very difficult to get through when you don't understand a lot of the nuances of the symbolism and the esoteric ideas they're presenting. It's very quick to get lost. But there's a lot of symbolism in this film, in Arrival. And the concept here that I will try to prove to you is that the aliens are evil spirits. They are the Klepoth. What is the Klepoth? My goodness. The Klepoth is the antinomian form of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. The Tree of Life, of course, here's your 10-second breakdown. The Tree of Life is 10 circles on, you've seen the symbol, right? The 10 circles going up the Tree of Life. And what these Kabbalists think is that God created the earth through thought, mental emanations, and the Sephirot embody those emanations, and the practitioners go up the path of the Kabbalah to from the earthly material realm of Malkuth, and they traverse it all the way up to the top, to the Kether. Now, the Klepoth is the entire opposite, because in the Kabbalistic tradition, balance is a theme. You could go up the right or the left path, or you can go up the center. The pillar of consciousness, they call it. And the Tree of Life is a retelling of the creation myth. Each Sephiroth contains all of the Sephiroths above it. So Kether, the highest Sephiroth, is direct emanation from God. But God couldn't create just one because there's not enough balance, so it overflowed into a couple other Sephiroths. And we can go into talk about the masculine and the feminine, and that goes into the different pillars sort of idea. Gendered Sephiroth. But the idea here is that there is a balance to be had. So the Klepoth is what provides the balance. And these occultists, these antinomian followers, the left-hand pathers, that is why they worship evil. Because it's not the same context for them as it is for non-occultists. Non-occultists may think of evil as something bad, whereas the occultist may see good values within it. It's the necessary evil, as it is described. Now, the Klepoth is the representation of evil spirits or entities, the opposite of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. They're the dark side to the Tree of Life. The opposite polarity of the 10 spheres, the 10 Sephirot. Now, these left-hand pathers like Aleister Crowley and all these occultists, they viewed the Klepoth as forbidden fruit. And even though the spiritual elders, and look, Kabbalah's got various offshoots, different sort of interpretations and whatever. Like I said, I'm not an expert on it, but there's various offshoots of this belief system here, this practice. And you'll see the people that follow Kabbalah, they wear the little red string bracelets. You've seen Britney Spears wearing them, Michael Jackson. They all do it. They're all into it. Hollywood loves it. They love Kabbalah. They can't get enough. Madonna's the queen of Kabbalah. But anyways, most of the Kabbalah traditions forbid contact with these forces. But Aleister Crowley, being the bad boy that he is, he disregarded this practice. And he lays it out in his book, Liber 777, with the names of the various demons of the Klepoth. And in these occult sort of mind frames, they believe that you could go on a journey of self-development, self-enlightenment, by traversing the dark side, the Klepoth. You gain full enlightenment once you peer into the abyss. Some people say that creativity lies within there as well. But the point is, they want to make contact with these evil forces. That's why black magic exists. These aren't people just trying to be mean or whatever. Like, they think there's a valid reason to do this stuff. They believe it to be a tool. I argue it could get you in a lot of trouble. As one could imagine, you could become possessed. You could go insane. You could be hooked on drugs. You could do all these things. In Arrival, and here's why I'm talking to you about the Kabbalah. In Arrival, these aliens, they come to Earth in the ships. And what are the ships called? They're called shells. And most people probably don't think much of this, except that the Klepoth are referred to as shells as well. So the aliens are quite literally being compared to the evil forces of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life.
Here are some of the many things we don't know about heptapods. Greek, hepta 7, pod, foot, 7 feet, heptapod. Who are they? Trying to answer this in any meaningful way is hampered by the fact that outside being able to see them and hear them, the heptapods leave absolutely no footprint. The chemical composition of their spaceship is unknown. The shell emits no waste, no gas, no radiation. Assuming that the shells communicate with each other, they do so without detection. The air between the shells is untroubled by sonic emission or light wave. Are they scientists or tourists? If they're scientists, they don't seem to ask a lot of questions.
And these aliens, I postulate, are the entities the black magicians are trying to gain this enlightenment from. Which is why in the film, if you recall, there are some military, grunts in there just hanging out in their tent. They're listening to the AM radio, the sort of Rush Limbaugh-esque radio. Maybe Alex Jones, I don't know. Can't really tell. But the guy on the radio, he says we need to throw the first shot across the bow, taking a very patriarchal view, pro-war, and this sort of cell of military members, they decide they're going to take the first strike. And of course, this prompts the rest of the film where the humans are trying to reel it back in and, you know, keep the aliens from leaving or destroying them or whatever they think is going to happen. So the point is, these folks that attack the aliens also believe they're evil. And they're prompted to do so by the radio personality. Now, this is curious because Dr. Stephen Greer, he warns us of this sort of attitude in documentaries, like Unacknowledged, that you may be able to find on Netflix. He talks about how these alien forces are going to be used by the military-industrial complex, by a secret cabal of people obsessed with murder and death, the death cult, the violent patriarchal society. Once the aliens come, he believes that these people will use it to create mega weapons and consolidate to a global one-world government. He even interviews a woman that worked with Wernher von Braun, and she claims on his deathbed he was saying, hey, they're going to have a supposed alien invasion, but it's a false flag in order to expand these powers and consolidate control. Fear-based thinking. Now, this film clearly shows us that this is a problem. It shows these people that are scared of the aliens as more primitive and less evolved. Now, these aliens, they show up in different shells, the craft, across the globe. And how many of them are there, you say? Well, there's 12. Why is there 12 shells coming across the globe? Because it is a religious reference. There's 12 signs or constellations in the zodiac. There's also 12 disciples of Christ. So one could argue that we started out with the Babylonian stargazer religion, with the zodiac stuff. Then we had the age of Pisces, the fish, the age of Christ. And this will be the new age, the age of Aquarius. There are 12 alien craft. It is showing us the new religion. The aliens are setting up the new religion. This is the first contact. This is equivalent to Jesus Christ coming to Earth. Should the listener think I'm making this up? Maybe you're thinking, you know, Isaac, you've said a lot of crazy shit in your time. It's just the number 12. They picked a number. They picked it out of a hat. Well, refer back to Interstellar. That was a film a few years ago with the great Matthew McConaughey. All right. We learned there were 12 new worlds near this black hole, the gargantuan black hole. Because you remember, they were on Earth. Earth was dying. They had to go populate another planet. They didn't know where to look. Well, there was 12 new worlds out near this black hole. And then they sent 12 astronauts to try to establish the new civilization. Again, it's a religious context, which is ironic, right? Because you've got all of these NASA types, all of these pro-alien types saying religion's the enemy, down with religion, when all they really want to do is instill their religion, the new religion, the alien religion. And of course, in Interstellar, to drive the point home, to go all the way with this, where is this black hole with the 12 new worlds and the 12 astronauts? Well, it's right next to Saturn. Again, the occult reference to time. Chronos. As you may see on the watch. The Chronos watch. Chronos, the Grim Reaper. So they go out near Saturn. And later we're going to talk about the fifth dimension talk, because that also shows up with Interstellar. Same thing. They're all talking about time. Is it a coincidence that they're talking about time and Saturn shows up every time? Now, as far as the appearance of these aliens, they're squiddish, right? They call them the heptapods. Did you realize that they look just like H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu? Well, maybe not just like it, but they resembled it, right? Cthulhu's got the tentacles. If you read Peter Levenda's book, The Dark Lord, you'll know that H.P. Lovecraft, he had very similar inspirations as some of these occultists like Kenneth Grant. The Mauve Zone. And Cthulhu is this, and it's a malevolent creature in the Cthulhu's Cthulhu mythos, but Cthulhu lies in the subconscious of mankind. Man is very worried about Cthulhu, about the aliens, and it lies dormant underwater, waiting to be resurrected. Now, does that not sound like our world? We're worried about these aliens. Do they exist? I mean, I'm obsessed with it. I don't know about you, but mankind in general, NASA for sure, they're obsessed with trying to confirm that alien life forms exist. They are trying to resurrect the aliens. They're trying to resurrect the Cthulhu. Now, these aliens in Arrival, they draw up the human beings into their shells every 18 hours, I believe it is, through this corridor. And when you see it in the film for the first time, Luis and Ian are going up the corridor, and you see that they're approaching a white rectangular viewing window. You know what that reminded me of? 2001 A Space Odyssey. We always go back to it. We always do. And the monolith in 2001, the rectangular black monolith, represented the movie screen. And we could argue that we're seeing the same thing in Arrival. The monolith was referenced in Interstellar as well. The TARS robot, created by Nathan Crowley, relative to Aleister Crowley. Come on, folks. What are we going to do with that? And there was an interview, and Christopher Nolan confirmed that, indeed, in the spirit of 2001, they designed TARS the robot. Because 2001 is the same exact message. Mankind is to be enlightened by the alien life forms in order to evolve into something better. And there was a quote I just got done reading. Oh dear, what's the book called? Cosmic American? American Cosmic? American Cosmic. Great book, by the way. She says a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about it for years. And there was a quote in there, and I don't have it. I tried to find it real quick for you. Something about Arthur C. Clarke was saying that 2001 was not just a movie, it was going to be a new religion. He knew. Arthur C. Clarke knew. He knew what he was doing. Now let's talk about the five dimensions. The aliens, they come down. These poor aliens get stuck trying to learn the English language. Probably the worst language to learn. It's the toughest one, right? It doesn't make any sense. So many rules that contradict each other. Spelling is probably terrible for the aliens. And the aliens are trying to teach the humans their language. They call them logograms, these black squid ink circles. And Louise quickly realizes that this writing technique is free of time, meaning it's non-linear non-linear orthography. Say that three times fast. The circles are written with no forward or no backward, which means there's no time. There's no sequential movement of time. At least that's what they said in the film. Don't ask me how that connects together, but that's what it says. And Louise, in the film, suggests that, well, these aliens must live a life free of time. The film references the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis and linguistic relativity, which claims that language actually creates your reality. I know that's a very strange idea, right? Language creates your reality, creates your perception of reality. But think about how many things do, in fact, create your perception of reality. Your mind is like a computer, and it gets taught all these rules. Someone codes it, you know, up until the age of 5 or whatever, with all these rules, and then you live the rest of your life in this programmed code. Now, the Sapir-Whorf, what are we talking about here? Oh, yeah. So, and I did a little research. I don't know. I didn't know what that was, okay? I'd like to sit here and be highbrow on you and tell you I knew what it was. I had no idea. Looked it up. These were two, I don't know, scientists, linguists. And the one person, Whorf, said that the Hopi tribe, the Native Americans, didn't even have a concept in their language for processing time sequentially. He's saying that the Native Americans had no concept of days or hours or minutes. And then I was reading that it was debunked because the Hopi did in fact have a language to describe time, which makes sense, right? Like, I don't know how you would even communicate without a concept of sequential time. You would at least say, you know, 4 moons ago or whatever. So, the idea here, the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis, linguistic relativity, talks about perception of reality created from language. The mental constructs of the world are created through the language. And that's what this film is trying to convey, is that the aliens, because of their language, live in a higher dimension than humans. They live in the fifth dimension. Because we understand the concepts of the three-dimensional world. And what does that mean? I know that I don't want to get too sciencey here, but what we're saying here is that we live in a three-dimensional world. Meaning there's a height, a depth, a length. Length, width, and height. Okay, a three-dimensional. Imagine the XY Cartesian plane, and then you've got the third dimension point, right? The depth. If you're building a box, right? You know how to build a box. There's your three dimensions. Well, then arguably the fourth dimension is time. You could say that you are going to, let me cite, what's that shill's name, that scientist? Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's a shill. No, I don't know. I have no idea if he's a shill. He seems like it though, right? Like, anyways, he explained it as this. He said, if you wanted to meet somebody on the, 10th floor of, I don't know the roads in New York, but he uses some road crossing, 110th and Broadway. I don't know. He says, you want to meet someone on the 10th floor of 110th and Broadway at 4 p.m. Like, that is using all four dimensions. You got your depth, your height, your length, whatever. And then you got the time. Now, the idea here is that the aliens are in a fifth dimension. So much like we can pinpoint and select and monitor and go to a point in the four dimensions, they can do it in the fifth dimension, meaning they can select a time, whereas all we can do is select a we're slaves to the time. We can't change or select what time it is. It is what it is, and it's just constantly rolling through, whereas the aliens don't have that. So we can accept that the fourth dimension is time, and we can hypothesize that if one could live in a fifth dimension, you would be able to pick and choose any point in a timeline, like picking a page from a book. So these aliens could indeed time travel, which is the same concept we saw in Interstellar, which, Matthew McConaughey goes in the wormhole and he enters the fifth dimension, and then he goes back and visits his kid as a ghost, And that's what these aliens are doing. They come back and say, hey, 3,000 years from now, we're going to need your help. So here, we're giving you this gift of the universal language. But Luis doesn't get this fully yet. Towards the, in the final act here, she goes into the shell. It pulls her up in the shell, and she goes through this ethereal experience. She goes through this sort of levitation, this paranormal experience, and becomes enlightened. They bestow the gifts of the fifth dimension upon her. They rewire her brain, sort of, telepathically. This is the weapon. This is what Joseph Campbell talks about with the boons, the hero's journey. They go to the other side, they get the bones, and they come back to Earth and share the bones with everybody. Which is what she does. She gets the fifth dimension, and then she comes back and shares it with everyone else. In fact, she, and this is why I say it's a love story. She decides, even though she can now see the future, she does this divination thing that's, all these occultists have been dying to do for so long, witches, whatnot. Louise, she decides she's going to have a child with Ian. Even though she already knows, she sees the future, she knows that what's going to happen is pretty terrible. The child dies prematurely. Ian divorces her because he finds out that she knew the whole time that was going to happen. Very painful experience. But she goes with it anyways. And not so ironically, she names the child Hannah, a palindrome, meaning it can be read forward or backward, just like the logograms of the alien writing. And she writes the book called The Universal Language. She is enlightening the rest of humanity with the alien enlightenment. Now, I enjoyed this film with the love story element. It was very nice because it was much like Bird Box, where Sandra Bullock's character, the alien creatures, force her to go on this spiritual enlightenment journey. She learns to love, just like Louise. Now, a couple ideas here to finish off with. What I found curious is that Hannah knows about the aliens. That's the daughter. That's the girl that Louise and Ian have. They don't really explain that. I mean, we fill in the blanks a little bit, which I like that too. You know, I don't need a movie to spell everything out. But you see her, she's creating these alien heptapods from the Play-Doh. Was she born with this gift? We don't know. I could argue that she was. She was a hybrid. She was the star child from 2001 A Space Odyssey. The aliens in this film are the Prometheus character stealing the fire from the gods to give to mankind. Which in this case, it's the universal language they give Louise to spread to the masses. And she spreads it through the book called The Universal Language. And now, isn't that curious? Presumably, the book goes through the concepts of time travel and the fifth dimension, how to get into the fifth dimension, how to enlighten oneself and evolve into a higher dimension. Could we argue here that this is an analogy to the Tower of Babel? That story from the Bible, mankind spoke one language, they were building a tower to get up to become like God, till he broke it all down, he busted it down. God the oppressor, that's what these cultists see him as, the Old Testament mad bearded cloud rider God. They think God is the oppressor, and that is why they want to instill this new global religion of alien worship. Now in this film, they're showing us a modern-day Tower of Babel. Man is trying to evolve into a higher form, become like God, much like the serpent in the Garden of Eden told Adam and Eve they can become like gods. They can enter the fifth dimension. They can speak the universal language. They can has the new global government. It's this fantasy that mankind can be this uniform, everyone's the same, everyone thinks the same, we all get along, it's this harmonious fantasy. And look, while like the hippie part of me says that's great, why can't we push for that? The reality is, we're all different. Even the Kabbalistic folks might agree with that one. If they didn't try to, they're trying to reconcile the opposites. But you've got the polarities, the male and the female. You've got polarities in the sense that, you know, not everyone's going to believe the same thing. I think it does mankind a disservice to pretend that we can all become the same. Why would you even want that? Why would you want everyone to be the same and to talk the same language? Because look, I enjoy culture. I enjoy all the cultures. I mean, I study these occultists. I don't follow or practice that or believe in that stuff. I think it's interesting. I think it forces you to think. And that's what Arrival is. That was my analysis of Arrival. Oh, what did you think? Do you hate me now? Do you hate the idea that the aliens are fulfilling a Luciferian prophecy? Because that's what they're doing. Oh, and hey, I posted a video on how to leave a review on iTunes for the show. And I got a lot of great reviews dropped. I appreciate that very much. I've been seeing that. I appreciate it. And you know, I always ask you to do something for me in exchange for my research and my time with you. So I'm going to ask, if you haven't done it yet, please consider a review on iTunes or whatever you listen to this on, Stitcher, Podbean, I don't care. Drop those reviews. That's how we can spread the gospel here. I don't know if you want to take this. I don't know which path you want to take down this journey. Some of yous aren't Christian, and that's okay. Because look, I have my doubts sometimes too, right? You've heard me talk about this. It's not crystal clear as to what the truth is. I mean, I feel like I know what I want to follow here, but the point is, I want you to understand it's happening. They are embedding these symbols into entertainment, and most people have no clue of it because they label this sort of talk as Illuminati conspiracy theory nonsense, and people don't even listen. And that's by design, folks. That's what they want. So, leave the review. Let's get some traction here. Let's get some other folks listening. Open up some minds, expand the consciousness, the global consciousness, if you want to believe that. Just drop that review on iTunes. Well, thank you for your time, and as always, stay woke.